Welcome to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. It was 4:30 on Tuesday morning. A scooter and motorcycle were both in the outside lane of the Julia Tuttle Causeway. They were both heading toward Miami Beach. Daryl Williams of Miami Gardens was fishing alongside the Tuttle before the sun came up. What happened next would take three lives and paralyze traffic stretching into two counties for several hours. Florida Highway Patrol says the motorcycle rear-ended the scooter. Both drivers lost control and were thrown off, killing them. Williams, the fisherman, was hit by the motorcycle and died later at Jackson. The crash understandably closed the stretch of the eastbound Tuttle for several hours, allowing police investigators to do their work. Now, any one of us with a family member or friend involved in such a tragic crash would want the same time and attention paid to find out what happened. The effect of closing this one span across Biscayne Bay just before the sun rose on Tuesday was felt on highways and streets in Miami-Dade and into Broward counties. From the Golden Glades to Cayocho, traffic on highways and neighborhood streets locked up for hours. The road jam spilled over into Broward County as drivers started out on their morning drives only to sit and wait and wonder. Less than a four-mile section of roadway was closed, yet the ripple effect was felt by drivers miles and miles away across South Florida. It served as the latest example of just how interconnected and vulnerable our transportation system is to disruption. Think of this as the South Florida traffic version of the butterfly effect. Among the thousands who felt the impact Tuesday morning was David Auslander. He lives in Pinecrest and works in Brickell. He was getting close to his office when he figured out this was not his usual morning commute.
I left, I guess, about 9:30 a.m., and typically it takes at most 35 minutes. And I guess after sitting on the Dolphin for about 30 minutes itself, I knew there was a problem.
And while sitting in traffic, David's phone rang.
I got a call from my daughter, who was unable to get out of her neighborhood, which is Midtown, and realized that there was something unusual going on because she just was at a total standstill, really unable to leave her neighborhood at all. Any way she tried to get south to Coconut Grove was totally backed up, and she made her way through Overtown and then was able to get on I-95 south of downtown, and then she was okay.
They both eventually made it to where they were going. While David has had to adjust his commute through the years here in South Florida, today's heavy traffic is reality for what his daughter has only known.
I was telling her how back in the day, traffic was never like this. And really, since she's been an adult in Miami, it's all she's ever known, bad traffic.
Ingrid Alfaro was in El Portal Tuesday morning, starting her normal commute like thousands of us.
Well, I normally leave in the morning to drop the children off at school, which is about 10 minutes away. And I noticed that there was a long line of traffic along Northeast 2nd Avenue. And usually when I see that, at that hour, I know that there's something on I-95. So I decided instead I'd go down Biscayne Boulevard.
But her trip did not get any better on the boulevard. Like a lot of people we heard from this week, Ingrid turned to a mobile app, hoping that would get her around the traffic jam.
I took Biscayne Boulevard and I got all the way down to about 69th. So then I put on Waze. So Waze had me heading up Northeast 2nd Avenue. Then it had me continue it back. It had me go all the way around to hop onto, I believe it's the 826, so that I could get onto the MacArthur Causeway. But when I got back, when I got on the highway there, first of all, I couldn't even get on the highway. So I decided not to do that. So I cut through downtown Miami. All in all, it took me a good 2.5 hours to get to work that day.
Now, what better time than today to talk traffic, transit, and getting around South Florida? It's a getaway holiday weekend, after all. Thousands of us will be on the road over this Memorial Day weekend. And our love affair with our cars and our unrelenting population growth in South Florida is translating into a tangled transportation system that's costing us millions of dollars in wasted energy and lost productivity.
This is Elvira Pritchard, and I live on Miami Beach. My thought is that if we ever have a true emergency or disaster in this area, the streets, the infrastructure is just not able to handle any serious large problems. So it means that we're going to have to get out and walk, or we're just going to have to turn around and go home because it's hopeless.
Transportation officials from Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties will join us today on the Florida Roundup and answer your questions. What do you want to know about getting around South Florida and getting the region moving again? Should billions of dollars be spent on building train lines? What about bus rapid transit? Is that an answer? Maybe more one-way streets or fewer one-way streets? How much more are you willing to pay in taxes, tolls, fares to get going? Will it take more money? Is it planning? Call us now, 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. You can also tweet us your questions to us on Twitter, at WLRN. WLRN's Tim Padgett spoke with some of those drivers while they waited Tuesday morning.
Megan Bergen left her Little Havana home at 9:45 a.m. At 11 a.m., she was just 3 miles away, sitting in her car downtown between Northeast 1st and 2nd Avenues on 15th Street for half an hour. She'd never seen anything like it.
Even in Miami, and I've gone through some pretty bad traffic these days. I think the highway reopened, I heard, but it's still backed up pretty badly. They need to have better planning for these type of things or alternative routes.
Even recently arrived Cubans like Jesus Bonson were aghast at Miami's traffic paralysis, which extended for miles both north and south.
Horrible, insupportable.
It's horrible, unforgivable, Bonson said about the jam that was making him 2 hours late for a carpentry job downtown. And he complained he saw no police or other officials out directing the traffic.
There are no police stopping anywhere, he told us, to help direct or control this traffic mess. That was Tuesday morning. So what lengths do you go to avoid heavy traffic on the highways around South Florida? Nick from Miami sent us this text. I sometimes end up leaving up to 2 hours prior to when I'm supposed to be at work. I'd rather do that and be early than sit in traffic and be on time or late. JD from Fort Lauderdale is an independent contractor courier for Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. He sent us this text. I will usually completely avoid 95 South in the mornings. I take 2nd Avenue or Miami Avenue to get to downtown Miami. It's actually faster. And Humbert on Miami Beach said he moved closer to work to not to have to drive 95 at all. Line up the questions now, 800-743-9576. Transportation officials on this getaway holiday weekend from Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County are with us here on the Florida Roundup. And your phone calls, 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. Still to come, getting around South Florida with the top transportation officials on the Florida Roundup and your phone calls. Stick with us.